Call the New Haven City Employees Retirement Fund meeting to order at 8 a.m. on June 20th. Item one, would someone like to move the approval of the meeting minutes from May 15th?
Madam Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I move for the approval of the minutes for the May 15th, 2024 virtual meeting.
Is there a second?
A
A second.
second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Please say your name and vote, please.
Aye, Dr. Christy Samperi.
Justin Hilliker, aye.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. I'm going to take a point of privilege. Items three, four, five, nope, three, four, six, and seven. Are information only. So if you'd like to review them briefly. And then item five. Do we need to go into executive session for item five, Leanna?
If you would like to discuss anything regarding this is for a service-connected disability reconsideration. This employee has retired on a disability pension and has requested to be taken off of the disability pension. They were actually this person was actually on the agenda, I believe, 2 or 3 months ago for reconsideration, and the reconsideration was denied, so they've they get one, they get an opportunity to come back. So this is an updated medical report for her still requesting to be reconsidered and taken off of a disability pension and put onto a normal retirement. So if there's anything to be discussed, it would need to go into executive session.
I have a question that I think doesn't require us to go into executive session. Leanna, can you clarify? So this person if a couple months ago requested just renewal of the disability retirement, and now the employee is requesting removal of the disability retirement?
No, a couple months ago they requested the reconsideration to come off, and it was denied, and therefore she's requesting it again to be reconsidered.
But to go back to a normal.
Yeah, to not be on a disability pension.
I don't understand why we would have rejected that, but.
We might have to go. Does anyone want to make the motion to go into executive session?
Madam Chair, I'd like to request we go on executive session.
I have a second.
Mark Petersen, I'll second it.
All in favor? All
Aye.
discussed. We're going to go into executive session. All the trustees, along with Carolyn Cohn, please join us. And Taylor.
And Leah.
Leanna.
Leanna, I'm sorry. Okay, we're out of executive session. Would someone like to move on item five?
Madam Chair, I move to rescind the service-connected disability pension for Amber Myers.
Do I have a second?
It's Mark Petrosimone. I'll second it.
Discussion. All in favor, please vote by name.
Justin Ellicker, aye.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Motion carries. Okay, so now we'll move back to our administrative items. And I don't know that we need to discuss item A, it's information only. Leanna?
Yes, I'll talk quickly. We do this annually this year. This is just to update the trustees for what we do for outside earnings update. There are currently three retirees who have not submitted, so we inactivate them this month until they do submit. Once again, the outside earnings is for anyone on a disability pension. They're required to submit a signed affidavit, notarized affidavit, along with their 1040 showing how much they earned in the prior calendar year. We were send these out February and request them back by April 30th. Those who and then we give an extension, into June 1st. Those who if we do not receive by June 1st, we inactivate them until they comply. So there are three people that we have shut off for the month of June. As soon as they do submit it to us, we would turn them back on and give them anything that they are owed in any retros.
And item B, that's along with item A.
Yes, this was discussed last month, maybe the meeting before. This is just an ongoing discussion on the outside earnings cap for SERF disability recipients. Again, we brought this up because the outside earnings cap for our SERF disability is $6,800. That's $6,800 in outside earnings. So they receive their pension, which could be anywhere from, 10, 15, 20, 25, $30,000 a year. And then they're only allowed to make outside of that $6,800 before their pension is reduced. So it doesn't say that they can't work. It just says that if they do work and they make more than $6,800 in a year, then their pension is, there's an offset to their pension. So it was just brought before the trustees, to have a discussion on this to see, how the trustees felt, because plenty of the retirees bring it to our attention that, especially since COVID, there's been a lot more work from home jobs, or if they, let's say, for instance, was a school security guard and they're disabled from being in the capacity of a school security guard, but that doesn't mean that they can't work, a desk job, as an example. It's just putting a tight limitation on these employees. And what they're allowed to make. So we did a little bit of research on it. The towns that got back to us, majority of them do not have an earnings cap for their disability pensions. The state, from what we found, does not have an earnings cap for their disability pensions. And one town that got back to us does it similar sounding to how the police and fire do it for the city of New Haven, which is it's basically like a total of what their if they left as a security officer, what a current security officer makes now, if that's say $45,000, then they in total can make $45,000 with their pension and any outside earnings. But towns like Camden, Brantford, I want to say it was Milford, got back to us, and the state, they don't have any type of cap for their disability pensions from what we found. So that's the research that we came to.
So I have a question, and I don't know when this happened, but why do we have a cap?
I don't know why, but I know it's in all the contracts. I also think the $6,800, as far as I'm aware, is at least back to the 80s. I'm not
I
sure
think
about
it's 1975.
1975 is where the
Right.
$6,800 originated from, and it's
Right.
never changed.
Right.
It's just stayed the
Right.
same.
Right. It was,
And I
sorry,
think it
it
just
was
came
mo
from the contracts, but I could be wrong.
No, it was probably came from a pension ordinance
Okay.
that we had back then.
Okay. And then it was just put into the contracts, because I know it's definitely
Right,
in the
because
contract.
that's the way the contracts
Gotcha.
all started, with the special acts and the pension ordinance, and then have been changed over the years.
Okay. And there's just been no change ever since.
So if we wanted to change it, would that be a labor issue,
Yeah, they
yes,
would
or
have to.
union issue? I'm not sure. I'm just asking because I really don't know.
Yes, the answer is yes. It would have to be done by a memorandum of understanding between the Labor Relations Department and each of the unions.
Or renegotiated in the contract.
That's right. But some of, you know, an awful lot of mayors, you probably know, have been just renegotiated, about four. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think all the contracts, to be honest, might be finalized at least for the next couple of years.
Right.
Maybe that's something that we have to kind of keep in the back of our minds. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, this wasn't raised as a
As
request
an
by
issue.
any of the unions, but I could be wrong.
Because it doesn't affect the pension fund at all if they have outside earnings, does it?
Well, yeah, it's going to affect it because their pension benefits are anything over 6,800 that someone earns. One half of that is offset against their pension benefits, so their pension benefits are less. So it's going to affect what we have to pay.
Yeah, there's
However,
claims.
it may be pretty minor, but may be a minor physical impact. I mean, that's something that the actuaries could tell us, but.
I think there's about maybe s eight this year who have this offset, so they have their pension reduced for the next 12 months. Anywhere from, some of them are like a $400 offset, $600 offset. One of them is even a $1,000 offset. So that's, yeah, most of the, and then some are as low as like $50. But most are $12. Most of them are between like 400 and $1,000 a month they're losing for the
They're
next.
losing, but not the pension fund.
Well, the employees, yeah, the retirees losing, the pension fund is it gaining? I don't know, because they're
It's a
not.
game for
Yeah.
them. It's a
Yeah.
game for
Yeah.
them, but it's not costing the pension fund anymore. Is that correct? Just want to
Well,
make sure I understand this.
So the pension, if the
If
pension fund was set to pay them $30,000 a
eliminated this.
year, now because they're making money elsewhere, the pension fund is not paying them the $30,000 a year. Say the pension fund is paying them, $24,000 a year. So the employee's losing money, the pension fund's technically saving money in this aspect.
Just to
But the
be
question
clear,
is,
the employees are not.
if the person retires early with a disability, they collect more money, right? Let's say I'm a 15-year employee and
Yes, yeah,
I have a
typically,
disability.
yes.
I said disability brings you up to somewhere where you're earning more on your pension. So in that particular case, the pension fund is getting somewhat hit more because we're paying more out because of an early retirement due to a disability. But if the person maxes out on their pension and retires and claims disability there, then it really doesn't hurt the pension. Right?
Well, but that has nothing to do with the outside earnings, right? That
Yeah.
just has to do with the fact that a disability pension's
So if we don't
more than you would
don't
get.
have a some type of accountability on the disability pension, then we open up a couple more avenues for abuse of the pension. I mean, then we just at the state level, then they just have a person that was collecting disability pension that was earning eight times as much doing some type of work that he was receiving a disability for and stuff like that. So, I mean, shouldn't there be some type of accountability at least? I mean, take the 6,800, you said 75, what's that, 25, 45 years, times 3% and increase to 6,800 by 125% or something like that. And make that the new limit, or suggest that as a new limit.
I think it's just something to consider, maybe increasing the cap,
Yeah, I
particularly
agree.
in this economic environment. Everything's costing so much more. So $6,800 probably made sense in what, 1975? You said 79, Carolyn, and maybe we need to
Maybe we
consider
make it 20,000 or
that's what
something
I
like
believe. That's what I believe. Yeah.
Making it more relevant to
that.
2024.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. But it's something that we need to have further discussion on, I'm sure, but something we need to consider going forward. Any more questions, comments on the cap?
It's just to move this forward a little bit, is there a recommendation that Carolyn or Leanna might come up with as to an appropriate, since that time, inflation-based new number or something moving forward? And also, do we still have to, even if it's a change in the number, do we still have to negotiate that in a contract?
Yes.
Personally, I agree with what Mark said because a year ago I was suggesting the same thing. Like whatever the equivalent of $6,800 then to now, I think a year ago was about 19,000. So to me, I agree. I'm in the same wavelength of increasing the cap to say what something that's more, set for 2024, around the $20,000 range, a cap year. Again, these retirees pension, I mean, they're not on a disability pension making 50, 60, $70,000 a year. To me, what they're making, most likely a lot of them probably do need another job, to just make ends meet in how much inflation has increased. So my suggestion would be to raise that cap. And my suggestion a year ago was around the $20,000 range. So I would assume that that would be a good, starting point at least.
Just I'm not as deeply familiar with the contract language around this, but the contract language does not give the pension fund flexibility to change the number, or does it?
Correct.
Does
Correct.
not.
It must be changed. You're right. It does
So,
not give them. So it has
yeah.
to be done through labor relations.
So if there's an interest on the union side to do this, it has to be negotiated, and they need to reach out to our labor office to do so if there's that much of an interest on it. And I think to Mark's point, that in my view, the cap makes sense. People retired early with a disability and then are working and earning additional money elsewhere. There should be some sort of limitation or incentive that people don't abuse the system.
Yeah, I agree. Just making that cap relevant to 2024, I think that we need some sort of controls in place. However, that 6,800 doesn't apply today.
And just, I did the calculation. So if we're adjusting for inflation, $6,800 in 1975 would be the equivalent of $38,601 today.
Wow.
There you go.
And I'm just thinking to keep everything unison, would it be appropriate to have to match what the New Haven Fire Department is already doing, just so that there's conformity across across everything.
What's
Informal,
that? Nice, but I'm not sure as I would use the PNF fund as an example of what's successful here.
okay.
It might also just be easier to put a cap, only because the way the PNF does is it goes like BERT by job by job, by title. So if we might have a cafeteria worker, and then we might have a social, a security guard officer, then we might have, a clerk. We'd have to constantly be updating, looking to see how much a clerk is making today, how much a, with all the raises. So it might just be easier to keep it how it's been with just a cap, but we would have to decide, I guess, on a suggestion of where a starting point as a recommendation.
Yeah, well, the recommendation would be to make the dollar amount relevant to today's dollars. So $6,800 in 1975 equals 38,601 today. That
just want to
it
reiterate
makes sense.
the unions need to ask us for this, and they have not, to my knowledge, asked for it. So we don't really have a lot of authority or influence here. If the retired employees reach out to the union representatives of the respective unions, they can push for that. Just like every time we want anything small from the unions, they want to negotiate it, as and we have to proactively ask for it as well.
Would it make sense if we were to send a letter as trustees to labor relations with this for consideration for the next contract, just so that we'll be on record? Would that make sense?
I think that would be fine.
Because I do feel that we need to at least make that $6,800 more relevant.
I agree with you. And we need to at least bring it to someone's attention.
So, Carolyn, will you draft a memo to labor relations on our
Sure.
behalf? Thank you.
Yeah.
Is this
It
something
probably
we can?
should be signed by either, yeah, we should vote on that, and you should vote on the number because we bandied about 20,000 and 38,601. And it should probably be signed by Jerry and Leanna rather than me. I mean, I'll draft it, but I think it needs to come from.
No, I agree. I agree. Trustees, anyone want to move that we approve Carolyn Cohn to prepare a draft memo to labor relations?
So it's gonna read something like that the SERF trustees would support the discussion between labor labor negotiations to increase the limitation on earnings for disability, that we would support an increase in the $6,800 to whatever the inflation
Adjusted number.
adjusted number would be. Something like that, right?
And that
Right.
number,
Right.
will the actuary have to calculate that number?
No, I mean,
No.
it,
You can
because
just leave it
first you're
blank out
talking
there.
about
Okay.
future negotiations, right?
Yeah.
So that number could be really different in 3 or 4 years than
Yeah.
it is today. So whatever it is at the time of the negotiations. And I can, would you like me to prepare a draft of the letter for you guys to review, or do you want me just to go ahead and say that?
Draft for review, please.
Yeah, for next meeting.
Yes. Is this something we need to vote on?
I think we should, well, we could continue it to the next meeting and then vote on the letter, if that makes sense.
Let's do that. Let's continue the discussions on the earnings gap. Item C, Leona, want to bring us up to date?
Update on RFP for medical consultant. We have not received any proposals, but we are a little bit closer. because my office did have success with getting in contact with two companies we had Zoom calls with last week. And the way we left it was for them to submit a proposal so that we have it in time for the July meeting. So we are hopeful on having their two proposals, plus our current provider is also working on submitting a proposal as well. So we are hoping that for the July meeting, we will have three potential companies to review and look over for medical consultant.
Sounds great.
Sounds like a plan. Now, both D and E were tabled
Madam
last.
Chair, I had a quick question on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just Leanna, did they give you any indication of why they had not previously submitted a proposal?
They weren't aware of it being out there.
Okay. And you talked to them about PNF too?
What was that? Yeah. The discussion was both for both funds.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
I just have a follow-up question. Is there a reason why we just have such low response on our RFPs? Are we posting them in the right?
So that we is my question. I'm included in that because
Right.
I the
In
RFPs go
general.
out through purchasing. So I don't know, we helped draft the RFP, but then what purchasing does from there, I have no idea how they put it out there, where they put it out there, who it reaches. I don't know. For instance, Carolyn, I don't know if you, just because you've been doing this for so long, you're aware and you know where to look, which might be, I don't know how it gets out to people that there is this RFP out there. So I don't know if the issue is how it's being broadcasted. They weren't even the two companies that we spoke to weren't even. It's not like they saw our RFP and said, oh, this is too complex. I'm not interested. It was just they weren't aware. And these are two companies that we got from speak calling and speaking to other municipalities and asking them who they use. And then we reached out to them and, set up a Zoom call. So it was just they weren't aware of it.
So I do want to add here that the procurement process, and I know I stated this before, they're only sending it out to like the New Haven Register. So if no one's reading the New Haven Register and it's only there for a specific amount of time, in addition to if you go online on the New Haven Register, you have to pay like a fee to read their news feed. So unless someone's actually paying the fee or actually picking up the physical newspaper, no one is hearing about this, and this is why we're not getting the responses that we should be getting. That is the pro that is the problem. It's the way that the current procurement process is going about disseminating the information into the community.
Christy, it might make sense for you to sit down with procurement and talk with them about how to improve their outreach.
Yes, we've
Thanks.
been. Welcome.
Okay, and I think that's across the board, Christy, with RFPs.
I agree.
Okay, items D and E were tabled from last month. We did receive a redline procurement policy. How do the trustees want to proceed in reviewing these policies? I do remember the last time these policies were changed. There was a committee of the trustees that took time out to read each of the policies and meet to discuss any changes, if any. How would you like to proceed and then bring it back to the group?
So could I just intercede, not being a trustee, but I think on the investment policy, Derek in July is going to make a
Correct.
presentation.
Correct.
And I think on the bylaws, there's really no problems or no need. The procurement policy currently is part of the code of conduct, And the Susan Whetstone, Trustee Whetstone, was very interested in updating it and making it relevant to the actual practices of the fund in terms of how they do, go about doing procurement. So I don't know if you want to wait till Susan comes back, like continue this matter till July, or you want to look at the language that I've suggested, or you know, how you want to go about dealing with the procurement issue.
And what's the trustee's pleasure? I'd like to, we don't have to review it in today's meeting, but I'd like further discussion on it because I have questions. It seems kind of convoluted in some, so I think clarity is required. And if Trustee Whetstone is working on it, then I'd like to wait. This is just me. I'd like to wait until she returns. What is the trustee's pleasure?
I agree that we wait. I didn't have a chance to review any of the red lines edition or anything like that yet.
Do you want
So
me
another
in
month would be
general?
good.
Yeah, okay. I know it looks really convoluted. I could sort of tell you what the approach was, or we could just wait till July. I think probably waiting till Susan attends is important.
Okay, well, I would suggest that we wait until Trustee Whetstone's is in attendance because I had so many questions when I was reading through it. I said, okay, let me just not do this.
Okay. And if anybody wants to call me and give me their questions or suggestions about how to make it simpler, I please do so.
Will do. I'll give you a call, Carolyn. Trustees,
Okay.
any more questions, comments? Do we want to move to table? Do we have to move to table D and E until our next meeting, Carolyn? No? Okay, well, that'll just be continued. Item
No,
F.
because they're already tabled. I would, yeah.
Okay. Item F, our annual
What's on
report.
board?
Anna?
Sorry, my cursor wasn't working for the mute button. Yes, the annual report was provided. This is actually drafted by the actuaries annually. This is for 2020, July 2022 to June 30th, 2023. And this is, you know, just as you can see, outlines majority of the policies or all the of you know the plans of all the contracts, who you know the trustees. This is provided both online and will be given to the Board of Alders as well, once approved.
So a highlight is our funding ratio actually increased.
Yeah, saw that too.
I do have a tiny change on this, and I for ask your forgiveness because I did review this several times, but on the top of page four, if it's adopted, it should say any elected, and the words or appointed should be added before the word official in the first line.
Questions, comments?
If the trustees are in agreeance with it, with just that minor change that Carolyn mentioned, I think we need a vote on it for the trustees to accept the annual report.
Would someone like to move that we accept the annual report as presented, with the exception of the one change by Carolyn Cohn?
I'll move for the approval of the annual report. This is Mark Petrosimone.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in any questions, discussion? All in favor, please vote by stating your name.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Justin Elgar, aye.
Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Ayes have it. The annual report is approved with the exception of the one change.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that we've covered everything. Oh, who would like to move the payment of bills?
Mark Petrosimone. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mark?
I'll move for approval of the bills.
Do I have a second?
Second. This is Justin.
Discussion. All in favor, please vote by saying your name.
Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Justin Elgar, aye.
Christy?
Aye. Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. We've passed the payment of bills. Any old business we need to discuss? Any new business we need to discuss? Would someone like to move for adjournment?
Madam Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I move for adjournment of the meeting. Make a motion.
Second? No one wants to second adjournment?
I'll second.
All in favor, unanimously.
Aye.
Okay. Mark Petrosimone, aye.
Have a good 4th of July, everyone.
You too.
See you next month.
Okay. Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.